Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe, tales of your very favorite and most beloved man-made disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hi, Brianne.
Hi, Melanie.
How are you tonight?
I'm great. We only are recording one episode tonight, and we usually record two. And guess what I'm going to do after we record?
What?
I'm going to watch Hamilton.
It's so good. I have big feelings about this. I know
almost nothing about it.
Okay, well, I won't say anything, but I have huge, big, fat feelings.
Okay. So, well, we'll have to discuss them soon. I feel like this is a very momentous time. Like, I set a date that we were going to watch it, and now the date is upon us.
Well, I had told our mom group after I watched it, because, like, I didn't listen to the soundtrack or anything like that. I went in with, like, zero, like, reference to anything. And it really fucked me up, like, big time. Like, I don't want to get back into that mental state, but I had told them, I was like, let's do, you know, like a Zoom meeting so we can all talk about it. And I'm glad it didn't work out this weekend. And hopefully we can do it next weekend.
Is this going to fuck me up? I wasn't anticipating being fucked up by this, but it seems that maybe I should be.
You might.
Okay. Send me some spoilers.
No, I'm not going to send you any spoilers because...
I love spoilers. Send me just the part that might fuck me up.
No, I can't.
Ugh. Melanie.
And it's like, you know, the first couple, like, and I made Cody watch it with me. And, you know, that's not really his jam. But, yeah, I mean, it hit him in a way, too. But for me, I think I cried probably, like, after it ended, seriously, another, like, 2.5 hours. It took me a while just to get it together, which is so crazy because it's like, it's funny when you like talk about, you know, historical stuff and then you say spoilers, because I'm like the same way too. But it really just, I don't know, kind of hits you in the gut at the end.
Okay, well, we'll revisit this next time we record, because by then I will have watched it. And I'm sure that's why everybody's here, to hear my thoughts on Hamilton.
No, have you seen, speaking of mom group, all of the stuff that Joanna Husky's been making?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got mail from Joanna Husky. Did you?
Yes, she got it.
And I took a picture and I haven't posted it yet.
I'm obsessed with her stuff. She just opened a new shop too. So that's super Mrs. Laser to you, right? Is that what it's called?
I'm pretty sure that's Mrs. Laser. I don't know if that's is there or not. But oh my god, her stuff is so cool.
Yeah, I ordered, she, remember when she was like working out some of the designs and she made those F-bomb earrings?
Mm-hmm.
I ordered some of those. So I'm going to do a photo shoot with them soon.
Oh my god, I love it.
Probably with my shark cowboy kitty bang bang swimsuit.
And she wrote that book, Resting Mom Face, is it
called? Yeah, yeah. It's like an activity really book. Good. Yeah, it's really good.
We know cool people.
I don't know. They're all just, we have like the chapstick hookup. We have like the...
Yeah, Bare Naturals.
Bare Naturals. We've got, Joanna's like crazy with like all of her like earrings. And we got some Marked Safe keychains that hold up the phone. It's...
Mm-hmm.
The stuff she's got is pretty rad.
Yeah.
I am totally going to have to order some of those. Have you looked at her Etsy site yet?
No, I just keep seeing the things she's posting and they're so freaking cool.
She has a gamer controllers too. And then like Pac-Man dangly earrings. Like I have to have them.
She in particular makes the kind of stuff that you don't want to buy it because she's your friend. Like you would just want to buy it. Like it's cool. It's not cool because you're supporting a friend.
No, it's like, I don't know, I feel lucky she's our friend.
Yes. And this has been friend. The unpaid advertisement segment.
Well, maybe she can design something cool for this episode for me. Maybe I'll, what's the word I'm looking for? Commish. I'm going to commission her to make something for me.
I bet you are. What's this episode going to be about?
So this week, I am going to cover the Black December shark attacks.
Ooh, I don't know anything about that. And by the way, if anybody hears this, we are recording this on July 7th. And yes, that's still fireworks in the background.
I thought it was my kid at the door. No. I didn't realize it was coming from your end.
Yeah. Welcome to Indiana, guys. Sorry, audio guy. Okay, so shark attacks.
Yes.
I'm so really here for it.
The Black December shark attacks were on the coast of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. So I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, and we're just going to jump right into this.
Okay.
Or dive, I guess, would be a better word.
I like it.
So on December 18th, 1957, 16-year-old Robert Worley, an amateur lifeguard, and three other friends had gone surfing that morning. They decided to go back later that afternoon for a swim and body surfing since the day was so nice out. After about 20 minutes of swimming, Robert, who was seaward, felt something brush his leg.
No.
Mm-hmm. He saw a shadow in the water moving away from him, but he didn't know it was a shark until the dorsal fin broke the surface. He tried to maneuver away from the shark, but when it came back around towards him, to no avail, and he was pulled underwater.
Mm. Does he live? I need to know right now. Does he live?
Well, Robert said, I surged through the water as it swam with me in its mouth, and I kicked frantically. He was eventually freed from the shark's jaws, and when he attempted a body surf to shore, he lost a wave after only a short distance. Mm. When he tried to stand up, he realized that his leg was severely injured. Robert's leg was severed at the knee, and a large portion of his thigh was removed.
Oh my God, imagine finding that out by trying to stand up.
Yeah, that's like...
Like, I mean, that's a shocker no matter what, but you're like, yeah, you know, I'd survive the shark attack, think I'm going to stand up. Oh, shit.
How terrifying is it when you're, like, just sitting down watching TV and you have, like, your leg folded under and you stand up only to realize it's asleep and you don't catch your balance?
Oh, I always notice right away when my leg's asleep.
I don't until I'm trying to stand up.
It hurts. What the hell?
It hurts. But, like, that's when you know your leg's gone.
Oh.
It's, like, you're body surfing and then, like, you're close to shore and you try to stand up and it's just, yeah. So he was treated at the African Explosives Hospital, and that name was pretty crazy. I tried to look it up, and this was, like I said, late 50s, so there wasn't a whole lot to find. But yeah, so he was treated at the African Explosives Hospital, where he would stay for 3 months. Ugh. His left leg was amputated, but he ultimately survived.
Wow.
So now, with most of the victims that I'm going to tell you about, the species of shark in each attack, they're not clearly identified. And I don't even know, like, back then how you would even attempt that.
Okay. So this is multiple shark attacks over a period of time.
Yeah, that's why they call it Black December, because it's it's dark.
Oh, my God. Okay. Go on.
Yeah. So I'm just going to give you kind of, like, what they thought the shark was. Like, okay. I'll at least give you that.
Okay.
So in Robert's attack, they believed that it was either a tiger shark or a great white based on his injuries.
Okay.
So since this was the first recorded attack since 1954, and that was, like, you know, it's been 3 years, people seem to shrug it off like a one-off incident. Like, it's, you know, it's not a big deal.
Mm.
All right, moving on. Okay. So Alan Green was a 15-year-old American who had recently moved to live with his father in South Africa. On December 20th, Alan, along with about 50 other swimmers, were enjoying their day at a nearly landlocked bay at Uvongo Beach. Seaward of the other swimmers, Alan was in the water close to a Belgian visitor named John Disingley, and John's father. John's father was the first to see the shark and began shouting, "Shark! Shark!"
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. When, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm freaking out.
When John turned around because of his father's yelling, he saw the tail fin of the shark next to Alan. The shark grabbed Alan and pushed him backwards on the surface through the surf. Alan screamed, and then the water turned red with blood.
No!
Swimmers formed a human chain across the channel and brought him to shore. 48 hours after Robert's shark attack, Alan would die from blood loss.
Oh, I hate it.
Mm-hmm. His injuries included a bite on his arm, and there were gaping wounds in his abdomen and chest. The shark was unable to be identified. And at this point, like, people are like, okay, we're getting a little concerned.
Yeah.
Also, I should mention, like, I didn't put palate cleansers, especially animals ones in here, because we're talking about animals. Like, it would probably do no good.
You didn't want to do, like, some adorable shark facts?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think I was, like, angry when I researched this one.
at the sharks?
No, just, it's so cut and dry.
Yeah.
I should have padded a little. I'm sorry. Oh, I've been okay. Sitting on this one for a while.
Okay. I'm into it. This is the, I'm on the edge of my seat here.
All right. You ready?
I mean, I don't know. Am I?
On December 23rd, less than a week later, and just short of 4 miles south of Alan's attack, James Barry and two friends drove to the beach at the Margate Resort for a swim. Because it was a resort, the beach was saturated with hundreds of beachgoers that late afternoon. A witness sitting on rocks saw a shark gliding through the breaker directly at James and said that it tore into his side and pushed him sideways along the surface and through a breaking wave.
God, sharks are dicks.
Such dicks. Other witnesses said the shark assaulted the swimmer 3 times within 30 seconds and described the swimmer and shark turning somersaults in waist-deep water.
Oh.
Can you imagine, like, you think of these things like swimming really far out, but like,
yeah,
you're in waist-deep water.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Another beachgoer and his friend heard James screams, but only saw his hand above water, reddening with blood. They rushed to James' aid and brought him to shore. On the beach, James saw his wounds, and he did what I imagine I would do.
Did he like,
no, he passed the fuck out, like, immediately. Okay,
that works too.
Yeah. So the lifeguard carried him to the clubhouse for first aid, but he never regained consciousness and died on his way to the hospital. It is believed that this was also a great white. So at this point, people were in, like, full-on fucking panic mode.
Yeah.
But clearly not enough because people are still going to get attacked.
Spoiler like, this alert. Is a very, I mean, I don't want to victim blame at all, but, like, this is an avoidable thing. It's not like a tornado that's going to come get you at your house.
I mean, gosh.
Okay.
I will just tell you now, there's 9 attacks in this. And that's kind of why I'm going fast.
Okay. Okay.
Recorded. There could have been more.
Oh, my God.
On December 26, day after Christmas, 20-year-old Donald Webster was skin diving near Splash Rock, Port Edward.
What the hell is skin diving?
Okay. I had to look this up, too. Okay. And I knew you would ask me. I feel like... Where I'm, like, vibing with you finally.
Fine? What?
Not finally, but, like, no, like, in a research way. Okay. Not, like, a friend way. Like, maybe she's going to ask me. Maybe I should fucking look it up.
I'm definitely going to ask you.
All right. So, with the quickest and laziest Google search ever, this is what I found. And I'm going to, I know we were talking about air quotes, so I'm going to air quote this.
Okay.
A somewhat antiquated term, skin diving refers to a mix of snorkeling and free diving. A skin diver spends time at the surface, looking down at the landscape below while breathing through a snorkel, and does breath hold dives, swimming down to observe interesting objects or marine life. Many advanced snorkelers practice skin diving, as well as free divers just diving mass. Oops, as well as free divers just diving for fun rather than competition or training. Skin divers wear masks, snorkels, and sometimes wetsuits, depending on water temperature. Dry suits are not appropriate. Fins can either be snorkeling or free diving fins. So yeah, that's okay. Skin diving.
I don't think that's a lazy answer. That was pretty thorough.
I literally just copied and pasted it.
I feel ready to go skin diving now. Carry on.
So Donald was skin diving and off this aluminum ski boat called the Wild Boar, which I think is an awesome name.
Wow.
For an aluminum ski boat.
Yeah.
And it was skippered by one Mr. Stoffel Forey. Donald saw what he thought was a large fish and slipped over the side of the boat to investigate.
That's Minutes not after, a good idea.
Dude, it's not.
Do you read the news? Okay.
But, like, you see a large shadow?
Yeah. You don't even need to know the news, but okay. I'm being a jerk. Continue.
Well, he did. He slipped over the side of the boat, and he went to go check it out. So minutes after he entered the water, a shark, or, I mean, maybe it was a large fish, it bit his head.
Off?
No.
Okay.
Whatever it was, it immediately let go, and Donald surfaced to the top, where the skipper pulled him into the boat. So, like, I don't know. It's just weird. Donald survived, but 50 stitches were required to close his wounds, and he remained in a hospital for a week. And the shark was never identified. Or large fish.
Okay, did we not know much about sharks then? I feel like, why are we never identifying the sharks?
Well, it was the late 50s, so yeah, there was not much shark knowledge and what to do about them.
I'll reluctantly allow it.
All right. We'll get into that more, I promise.
Okay. I'll shut up.
Oh, you don't have to. On December 30th, 14-year-old Julia Painting and about 2,000 other beachgoers were enjoying the beach at the Margate Resort. Every day at noon, a live band would play at the Palm Grove. But when it was canceled, Julia and her family left the entertainment area and went back to enjoy the beach. All right. When I was researching this story, I stumbled across... So there's like a website that you can go to, like you can click in like shark attacks and it will give you basically everything you need to know, like the weather, what it looked like. Yeah, I'll link it all up.
Yeah.
But they had Julia's description on there. And so I'm just going to take a couple seconds to discuss it. It said... Julia's single-piece cotton bathing suit was white with a floral design in light green, and it had three layers of frills about the hips. She was blonde, tan.
Sounds very cute, by the way.
Very cute. She's adorable. We will post pictures. She was adorable.
Okay. I mean the bathing suit, but I'm sure she is too.
Oh, no, she is. So okay. She was blonde, tan, and did not have her menstrual period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like she didn't have it that day or like hadn't had it yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So I know we've talked about this a little bit and I am super guilty of probably like playing into like misinformation. When I'm on my period, I'll be like, I'm chumming the waters.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
I love how classy you are.
I'm so classy. But like, I probably should publicly correct it, and I'm going to just tell everyone very loud and very clear, menstrual blood does not attract sharks.
Really?
Sharks don't give a fuck about your time of month. Your period will not cause a shark attack. Period. Pun intended.
This is not very informative. I don't know anything about sharks. I live in a landlocked state. I always have.
Well, you know what? If it's your time of the month and you want to go swimming and you're worried about sharks, Don't.
I'm just going to live my life. You're good to
live it.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I'm going to go for other reasons now. I am trying to scare you and give you a new phobia with every episode we record, and it is never working. But it is working for you. I'm definitely picking up some new phobias.
Good.
You're a success as a podcaster.
That's terrible. I don't want to do that. That's like, I feel like that's what my husband does to my kids. Like, he just wants to put them in bubble wrap, you know, because we're going camping this weekend, right?
How exciting.
It is exciting, but there's not a whole lot of options to do when there's, you know, coronavirus. Like, you know, don't go to a resort and cough on a bunch of people. Yeah. So we are going to go to Arkansas, and my aunt lives there, and she's very secluded. Like, you know, she lives on a lake. They don't talk to anyone, but.
Hold on. Is it Aunt Beta?
Carolyn.
Okay. Hi, Aunt Beta.
Say hi to Aunt Carolyn, too.
Hi, Aunt Carolyn. I don't know you, but I'm sure you're great.
Oh, you're going to hear this. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Now they're really going to fight. It's all your fault. But it was really cute. So I was looking up dog-friendly campgrounds. So I found one close to her house. You know, because I have 4 kids. It's the first time they've been camping. If we need to bail because of weather or whatever, like, we need a safe spot to go.
That's smart. That is, like, some high-level mom thinking there. I don't think I would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 kids from now.
It's, I don't know. I don't even think it's that high-level. It's just, maybe.
No, it is. It is. Or maybe I'm just in remedial mom classes. I don't know.
Well, anyway, she went and checked out the site for us. You know, I didn't ask her to, but, you know, she's
aww,
like a mom to me. And she took pictures and, you know, because she's not going to let me go anywhere unless she knows it's safe. But she was like, oh, it's beautiful. Like, the campsites are a little close together, but you should still be safe. Like, there's still enough, you know, distance. And there's lots of wonderful trees that you could put hammocks up. And I was like, Aunt Carolyn, I'm officially not ever allowed to use a hammock again. Have you heard this?
I don't think I have. What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Cody he gets caught in these, like, articles, and he reads these articles, and he comes up to me, and he's like, I read a sad article about a kid. But he does it, like, every other day, and it's like, fuck, don't give me anything else to worry about. And so he was, like, telling me all the, like, this horrible tragedy about hammocks. And then he goes, you should talk to Brianne because I think you guys could do a whole episode on hammock disasters.
Oh, can he be a guest speaker just to talk about his concerns?
I bet he would.
Okay.
But, yeah, so he's, like, he's very anti-hammock. And I honestly, I don't know how I feel about this because I love a fucking hammock.
I guess I'm going to have to hear the tragedy to know how I feel about it.
Yeah. So back to Julia. She was hanging out with her cousin, her aunt, and her uncle, and a 36-year-old gentleman named Paul in Warm Beach Waters. Julia's aunt, and I'm not sure if this is, like, the most insane follow-your-gut moment or what, but she had a super uneasy feeling. And she was like, you know, I need to go back to the beach. Like, so she told her husband, Julia's uncle, like, she wants to go back in. And he decided to join her. And as they're walking back to the beach, like, he's, like, kind of, like, grabbing and, like, nipping at her ankles. Kind of like what a shark would do. You know what I mean? Just, like, mocking her.
Yeah.
At the same time, Julia said, I was standing and talking to Paul Brokenshaw when I saw a dark shape coming from the rocks on my right. As it neared, I saw 2 fins, and I saw that it was a shark. So sweet little Julia, she tried to push the shark away.
Oh.
But when the shark bumped into her, she lost her balance and fell. The shark swam back around to attack Julia, and Paul tried in vain to stop attacking or try to stop the shark from attacking her by grabbing his tail and punching the shark in the mouth. And as he tried to pull Julia from the shark by her swimsuit, the suit actually gave way and the shark continued to attack by chomping away at her arm.
Oh, I think that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Punch him in the mouth or the nose or something?
Yeah, this shark was like, was not, apparently not listening. It did not fall in line. So
read the shark book.
No, I read a book. I saw that Julia actually remembered that the shark was grunting like a pig.
Oh no, I hate that.
A shark grunting like a pig while he's chomping your arm off.
Fuck.
I don't think I will.
That is my least favorite detail out of any episode we've ever done officially.
Yeah, I hate really pigs. I've been sitting on this story, you know, since we've launched this thing, and it's kind of been a slow burn for me. But this was one of the first details that I found, and it's still, I've read it a million times, and it still bothers me. She remembers the shark grunting like a pig.
Oh, that's right up there with the earbuds still in the guy's ears. Well, I guess it wasn't earbuds back then. I guess it was a Walkman. But that's up there in the horrible detail rank. I think it's the worst detail. Oh, I'm very upset.
I'm sorry.
I hate it. But okay. That's so good, though. I mean, it's not good. You know what I mean. It is a very interesting but absolutely horrific detail.
I mean, if anything, I mean, it's... She's living to tell you what it sounds like, right?
Yes, but I'll tell you, I will never forget that, and I will never forgive sharks for this. I didn't really like sharks before, but now I officially have declared them my enemy. Continue.
Public enemy number one.
Yes.
So just to give you a time frame on how fast the whole attack was. So you remember when I was telling you that... Julia's uncle was kind of being a dick to her aunt by like,
as uncle sharks.
So Julia's aunt turned around, I'm assuming to tell him to knock it the fuck off. And that's when they noticed the attack going down.
Oh,
yeah. So the shark briefly let go of Julia and Paul scooped her up and literally threw her to her uncle, who, like, they saw it, so he was, like, rushing back.
See, I bet he was always like, aren't you glad I was being a dick after that?
Ugh. They shouldn't have left in the first place.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know why I do that.
It is easy to accidentally stray into victim blaming.
Ugh. I'm terrible. Ugh. So, yeah. Her uncle, like, took her back to shore. Sorry, Julia's uncle. Like, I'm a dick.
What year was this? Is Julia's uncle even still alive?
Late 50s. I mean, it's possible.
Highly unlikely. Continue.
All right. So, besides a severed arm, below the deltoid muscle, Julia's other injuries included lacerations of her left breast, left side of her back, right thigh, buttocks, right shoulder, right hand, and fingers, and there were also abrasions caused by the shark's hide and the fins on her waist and left leg, which I'm assuming is kind of like what like a carpet burn would be.
Oh my god. Sharks are so much worse than I realized.
Yeah. It is thought that the shark was either a bull shark or a great white, and, as I said, she miraculously survived. Our hero, Paul, was awarded the Silver Medallion, the highest award for bravery given by the Surf Life Saving Association of South Africa, and the George Medal, a civilian award given for an act of great heroism in circumstances of extreme danger.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, we really should stop dragging the guy.
Yeah. So I want to note that... Oh, no, that's Paul. He wasn't related to her.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that we can no, we continue can, to no, drag we, her we can, uncle. We can. But
let's go back to that.
This is
okay.
The guy that saved her was not her uncle.
Oh,
he just caught her.
Got it. Okay, we can drag her uncle again. I feel good about it now.
So, at this point, let me back up first. It's important to note that Julia's attack is almost the same exact spot that James was attacked and killed the week prior.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's not like you're just stretched out on long parts of the beach.
Maybe
like,
it's just one super dickhead shark. Okay, continue.
Well, so at this point, like, it's full freakout mode. The tourist board is finally starting to take measures to put a stop, like, because it's just madness. But what they do, like, I'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's keep talking about shark attacks.
Okay.
So, the next victim, there isn't much information on us, unfortunately. All the research dates listed say that it was sometime 1958, and I'm speculating, but I'm thinking that was probably, like, in the beginning of the year sometime.
Okay.
A young Zulu male, exact age unknown, was wade fishing near Makakatana River. An unknown shark was reported to have attacked and killed him, severing his leg above the above the knee. And that is, like, literally all the information I could find, and it super bums me out.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's also late 50s, and the beaches were heavily segregated.
Oh.
So it's very obvious why that information is not out there, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I super hate that.
So on January 9th, 1958, Derek Garth Prinsloo, age 42, a farmer from Orange Free State, was enjoying a day at the beach with his wife, 16-year-old son Jacques, and 10-year-old daughter Erna.
That's a cute name.
It's the cutest fucking name ever. I literally wrote on my notes, cutest fucking name. Someone please use it because I am done, all caps, having kids. Please, all caps. That's what I wrote on my side note.
It's not going to be me. That's all.
Erna.
Or not because of the name, because I'm also done having kids. Continue.
But Erna, it's so sweet, right?
I love it. Yes, we both had the same reaction to Erna. I've never heard that name before, but it's adorable.
Ever, ever, ever. Erna is fine. Erna does not get hurt.
Thank God.
I mean, her heart does, but...
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
All right. So they were in Scottsboro. Scottsboro is a small coastal resort town, which... at the time, was surrounded by a coastal forest. There was a ton of beachgoers that day, but only about 20 people were in the water. While there were some people swimming about 20 yards out, Derek was actually pretty close to the shore. He was admiring the view, and he told his son and another swimmer, quote, "This is what I like about the waves here. They are so beautifully even."
Oh, okay. That's quite an ominous detail.
I'm going to have a drink real quick.
What are you drinking?
I don't know how to say it. It's like this weird water thing that Cody's rolling. Top of Coco. I don't know. It's some like carbonated water thing. It's really good. It's in glass bottles, and I'm saying it all wrong, but it's delicious.
Sounds very bougie.
I don't know. He's like, it's his favorite thing in the world. So,
okay.
I was like, I wanted something that wasn't like this country time lemonade that's always the first thing in our fridge to grab. So,
oh, that sounds so good. I've been on such a lemonade kick lately. Okay, back to dickhead sharks.
No, we need that. You like Arnold Palmer's?
No. You really like Arnold. No.
You're not a tea person?
No. Not at all, actually. I actually hate tea.
I'm going to have to work on that.
You've got a lot of fixer-upper things about me that you're working on.
Good you luck. Know what? Mm-hmm. I love you just the way you are. So when I say shit like this, just brush it off. I don't actually mean it.
I just think about the rock trolls or whatever they are singing that he's a bit of a fixer-upper.
Oh, I love that song.
Because my kids listen to Frozen 23 hours a day.
That was our palate cleanser. You okay. ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Should I say what he said again?
I know what he said. Maybe somebody else doesn't.
I won't.
It is very atmospheric.
Yeah, I mean, I've sat in the ocean and been like, wow, this is really pretty.
Did you get chomped by a shark right after that?
No.
No.
So there's this guy, Peter Little. I'll bring him up a couple times in this, but he's a lifesaver, and he witnessed a shark swim past several swimmers. Remember I said there was some, like, kind of out further?
Mm-hmm.
So he saw the shark swim past multiple people, and then it hurled itself at Derek.
Okay, why are sharks fucking around Piggy? Hurling themselves at people and thrashing around and... shallow water. I don't like it.
No, it's terrible. The shark struck with such force that he was flung out of water.
Oof.
The shark would bite him 3 times, his buttocks, his thigh, and again his buttocks. A swimmer said, quote, "We saw this flashing black tail of a shark churning the water as it attacked with a circular sweep. It did not tack and leave him, but went on attacking him mercilessly." The shark attack started in less than 3 feet of water. Like, wow. I think of, like, how tall my kids are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not very much.
You don't even think about that depth.
3 feet of water. And a witness said at times the belly of the shark was on the sand.
Okay.
Like, that's how far.
You are bringing it with the horrific details of this one.
Yeah. When it let go of Derek, the shark was only about 15 feet from the shore. Lifesavers pulled Derek from the shore, but he ultimately died on his way to the hospital. I did see that, like, over 1,000 people attended his funeral. So, I mean, he clearly was super beloved. And poor Erna, like, I can't even... imagine.
Mm-mm.
It's believed that a great white was also attacked her. Not long after, the stomach of a great white that was caught by nets contained the same style and color bathing suit worn by Derek, and it had traces of human blood on it. Oh. So, it probably was, you know, a great white.
Wow.
We still have some more.
Okay.
On April 3rd, 1958, 29-year-old police officer Nicholas Badenhorst was on holiday at Port Edward with his brother Andres and a friend. I think I actually texted you this. I ordered this, like, used copy of this book from the late 60s. It's called Man is the Prey by James Clark. And it's just, like, a black book, and it just has, like, big open jaws.
Oh.
It's really cool. But it's basically, like, all these... crazy animal attacks. I love it. It's I will have a disaster library one of these days.
I am working on a little disaster, like, little gallery wall of posters and stuff where I record.
That's freaking cool. One day we'll have our own little studio where it can have posters and the library all together.
Who's
and
moving?
Nobody will want to come.
Who's moving?
Oh. I think I'm probably the most flexible in this situation.
I think you are.
All right. So they're on vacation. I ordered this book. It had a cool cover. So yeah, the book's like chock full of horrible goodness. So the author actually interviewed Nicholas' brother after the shark attack, like the day after.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's in this book. And that's why I ordered it. But, you know, the rest is just bonus. So I will actually just share with you his brother's account.
Okay.
He said, I was swimming near my brother when he shouted shark, and I saw him kicking at something in the water. The water immediately turned red, and I saw my brother's leg was practically off above the knee. I swam towards him. He punched at the shark, and it took his arm off. He then rolled over and punched with his other fist, and it took that arm off, too.
Damn!
Just then, a Zulu swam past me, grabbed my brother, and carried him to the beach, where he died.
Oh.
That was the day after he saw his brother attacked by a shark.
Oh. But a moment of silence for that guy's nuts, dude. He punched a shark, it bit his arm off, so he punched it with the other arm. I mean, I guess what are you going to do? But Jesus.
Mm-hmm. There's another badass in this story, actually.
Wow.
So, remember when he said a Zulu swam past him and grabbed mm-hmm. his brother?
Yeah.
So, that guy is, and I tried as my might looking this up, so I'm going to do the best I can. Zefa Frifri Maseko.
Okay.
He was a 55-year-old Zulu native and lifeguard. So the beach at Port Edward was, and yeah, I mentioned this before, a whites-only beach. And it was governed by the law of apartheid, which is basically a racial segregation of beaches, buses, hospitals, schools, cinemas, theaters, and universities. According to the Wet Matter issue of the Harvard Design Magazine, it was a really cool article on like beaches and marine life in South Africa. But lifeguards like him were a part of the South African branch of Royal Life Saving Society. It was a multiracial association known to resist the regimes of apartheid and systems of separation through a unified front of volunteers.
Wow.
So he basically saw someone in trouble at an all-white beach and gave zero fucks. Like,
wow.
Like, that was his passion. He, quote, waded in the sea, fought the shark, and dragged Nicholas's body from its jaws and carried him from the water. Like, can you imagine that? Like, I can't. Like, it just.
No.
Like, he wasn't allowed to be there, but, like, I don't know. Just.
God.
It's really fucking cool.
And
there's a lot of changes to be made.
Yeah. A lot.
So, no, there's a really awesome article, too, where Nicholas's father, you know, they were, like, it's just old newspapers. Like, they were clearly, like, trying to press him for, like, details and stuff like that. But all he cared about was trying to get in contact with the Zulu native just to meet in person and thank them. Yeah. And it was a really big deal then. A really, yeah. really, really big deal. Unfortunately, Nicholas's injuries were substantial. Obviously, his left arm, it was severed at the shoulder. His right arm was severed above the elbow. His abdomen and his right leg were mauled. And he ultimately died of shock and hemorrhage from his injuries. And that was also believed to be a great white. Intense. Well, I'm almost done.
I'm still working on my it's all one asshole shark conspiracy theory.
You ready for a breather? There's only one more victim.
How is that all? Okay.
Our last victim is 28-year-old Faye Jones Bester, a widowed mother of four. Ugh, that's scary to think about.
Oof.
She was on holiday at Esperanza spending time with about 500 other tourists, and they were at the beach of the Unago Hotel. So shark nets had been placed around the swimming area, and they were removed for repair earlier that day. Faye walked over to join a group of onlookers watching workmen repair the shark barrier about 30 yards from the beach. Faye was hanging out in knee-deep water when Jeff Wolf, owner of the Unago Hotel, warned her and 15 others that it wasn't safe there. I mean, I think clearly it wasn't safe.
Yeah, not even a little.
But Faith and most of the others didn't heed the warning, and they stayed put. In a quick fucking told you so moment, a shark rushed Faye, sweeping her off her feet. Like, immediately. He's like, it's not safe. And then, like, it happened.
Oh.
Witness Graham Perry said she was flung into the air and the water turned red. Helplessly, people splashed the water with their hands to try to drive the shark away. But, yeah, no. It didn't work. The shark clamped its jaws over her waist. Another witness said that the shark shook her like a dog shakes a bone and wheeled half out of the water.
Mm.
As quickly as it began, it ended, and Faye died before rescuers brought her ashore. Faye's left leg was almost severed, and her abdomen was severely bitten. Again, it is believed that a great white was the shark in this incident as well. They try to catch the shark. It was an unsuccessful attempt, but they had a pork baited line to try to catch it. That was the only one where I saw they actually try to get your, what'd you say? The one asshole shark?
Yeah. I've got a shark conspiracy theory going.
All right, so we're done with the gore, I promise. Okay. So we'll just get to the logistics of everything now. So I'm going to get a little bit into, like, the solutions that they took to, like, prevent these, like, when all this happened. So I want to talk a little bit about the preventive measures that were taken when these attacks were escalating. So after Julia's attack, they immediately banned swimming. And by sunset, they had installed lights, you know, in the little sweet sea swimming pool that mm-hmm. they were in. They closed a lagoon and they deepened it to allow more swimming. And they basically put up a net barrier around to keep sea life out.
Yeah.
The barriers were unreliable, as we know, because there was, we saw how many attacks happened.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, they only provided a false sense of security to swimmers and nothing more.
Hmm.
Besides this, they did something. Well, there's actually a couple somethings that blew my fucking mind. And it's beyond any normal job description I could ever imagine. So you remember I was like talking about like that lifeguard Peter Little earlier?
Yeah.
There's an article I found about him. And it said, when Peter Little joined South Coast Lifeguards, his uniform and equipment issued was simple. Red Speedo, a whistle, and a .303 rifle.
Oh my.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yes.
The best idea that the government had to control the shark problem was to equip lifeguards with rifles and direct them to shoot at any scary shadows.
That sounds like a very American solution.
Oh.
Wow.
Wait. Miss me.
What could possibly go wrong?
It gets more American.
Oh.
So this clearly didn't work, right?
Okay.
Net enclosures couldn't withstand the surf and the swell. And let's be honest. Shooting at scary shadows is not going to get you too far.
No. I mean, it might get you somewhere, but God knows
it's
where.
A non-solution. No. It's a non-solution. Well, then the South African government stepped in because the attacks were really doing a number on the tourist economy. You want to guess what they did next?
That's why they stepped in.
Okay. Guess what they did.
What did they do? Did they give the sharks guns too so it would be a fair fight?
That's not
you
American.
You said it got more American. That's very American.
Brie.
If you've got a problem, just add more guns.
No. You ready?
Okay.
They bombed the fucking ocean.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck.
America. No, it wasn't America. It was South Africa.
But it has such American energy.
So during the week of Julia's attack, a small warship known as a minesweeper, the HMSAS Pretoria, left her base at Simonstown with depth charges to blast the seas off Margate. The ship had engine difficulties and had to return to port before completing its mission. But there was another ship, a frigate, Verstraat, and they pretty much completed the job. You think that's wow. American enough?
I mean, okay, continue.
All right. Well, literally, in all sense of the term of overkill, an aircraft loaded with hand grenades what? Was also dispatched.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Okay. Did it work?
All right. Let me tell you about depth charges.
Okay.
I wrote it because I thought you would ask me.
I didn't, but if you'd like to tell me anyway.
It's an anti-submarine warfare weapon.
Okay.
Actually, my friend Candace tagged her friend Justin, so thank you guys for this. He said they are explosives that create pressure changes that create damage. Not with the explosion, but due to the stress of the structure. It's in the hydraulic shock that causes the damage.
Whoa.
So, you ready? How many sharks did it kill?
I feel like it's either like zero or a billion.
Ultimately, the depth charges only killed 8 sharks.
Okay. I mean, that's something.
But it also killed a fuck ton of fish.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of other shit in there other than just sharks.
Mm-hmm. And, essentially, it was basically a dinner bell for even more sharks.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there God. Goes your one shark theory. That's where yeah. they're all coming from.
Okay. I liked my theory.
I liked your theory, too. I mean, it possibly still could be.
Yeah, just because there's other sharks there doesn't mean they're the problem sharks.
Yeah, none of this is proven.
Okay.
I like your theory.
I'm sticking with it. I'm going to double down, actually.
All right. With little progress with these measures taken, the most effective action taken was the use of what is now highly controversial shark nets. In the article about Peter Little, it said that he and his troop of lifeguards were tasked to haul the nets out after a week to gauge the success, if any. As they inched along the length of the net, they soon realized just how successful this new measure was. The smell of rotting shark invaded their nostrils, permeated their pores, and stained their hands. By the end of the day, a stinking pile of 80 or 90 sharks sat rotting on the rocks.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of sharks. Nets got them. The bombs didn't. That's weird. Makes you think.
Yeah.
The use of force a little bit. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. So the use of shark nets works swimmingly. See what I did there?
Oh, man.
But also with high cost. They resulted in bycatch or unintended capture of other marine life, which included rays, sea turtles, dolphins, and included the endangered humpback dolphin. Super sad, and several rare species of sharks. South Africa has recently started replacing these nets with drum lines. There's still nets there, but yeah, they're working on really? Kind of a different system, which is still getting a little bit of like, you're still not doing it right. Whatever.
Yeah.
But it is like better than the gill nets that they have. Randomly, when I was researching this, I did find an article. So South Africa was shut down for 3 weeks in March because of coronavirus. The KwaZulu-Natal Shark Board, they managed the shark nets, and bather protection in the region. They said they were removing all of the drum lines and nets so all the marine life could swim, like since no one was allowed at the beach, which I thought that was super neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is. So
I love that.
After these attacks, it was basically the nets that kind of like essentially stopped or minimized these crazy shark attacks. It's pretty much it. I did, you know, just as like a footnote, like there, I purchased a movie. It was called Killer Sharks, The Attacks of Black December. It was a made for TV movie. It was on Discovery Channel Shark Week. I think we all know about that. It was $3. It wasn't bad. Oh. I watched it. I made Cody watch it with me. I mean, if you're going to do it, let's be fully committed, right? IMDb Absolutely. Straight up says, although the events depicted took place in South Africa, the reenactment scenes are performed by American actors without any attempt to evoke the South African setting. All the cast speak in their normal American accents, and the vehicles are left-hand drive instead of right-hand drive. So, honestly, that's like the most forgivable part of this. I don't even know what to call it. It literally is like the creatives, I don't know, like the people who made Sharknado, if they try to do a documentary, that's what it felt like, but like not in a cool funny way. Yeah. Julia Painting's in it though.
Yuck. Oh, I googled a picture of her while we've been recording.
She's adorable.
She really was cute.
Yeah, so you don't have to watch it. Save your bucks. Cody made a comment. He's like, it's so crazy. Like in the movie, like people are like running down the beach. Like these sharks are going to like grow legs and eat them or something. Chase them.
We watched that Mandy Moore shark movie. Well, actually, it was right around the time we started this podcast. It's like something under the sea, 48 something. I don't know. It's actually decent.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, was it good? 47
meters down. It's actually decent. I think that there's a sequel and the sequel is shitty, but it didn't have as much like shark zooming in with all its teeth out as you would think. Like, they go down in one of those shark cages and... I mean, this isn't really a spoiler because it's the entire premise of the movie. But I guess if you're that worried about spoiling the 2017 film 47 Meters Down, forward like 15 seconds. They go down in this shark cage and the chain breaks and they're stuck down there.
Wait, they're stuck in the bottom in one of those shark cage things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the guys that they were getting the ride from are like a little bit sketchy. It's two sisters down there. And they just, like, they have to stay down there, but there's sharks everywhere, so they can't just swim to the surface, and they'll get the bends if they do. I'm not really into shark movies.
Oh, I need to watch really that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't skip 15 seconds. I mean, my favorite shark movie will always be The Little Mermaid, but there's sharks in there.
Well, yeah.
There's a really intense shark scene, like, in the beginning.
Is there? Yeah, I haven't seen it long. There's a really intense shark scene in Nemo. I tried to show my kids Nemo, and they got to the part with Bruce the shark, and they were like, nope, turn it off.
Bruce. What a name for a shark.
I think his name is Bruce, isn't it, Bruce?
I
have no idea.
I don't remember. That was a heavy episode.
Okay, well, that was action-packed.
Sorry for all the...
Oh, no, I think that was one of my favorite episodes
so
far.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I've been sitting on that one for a while. The shark grunting like a pig still weirds me out.
I'm never going to forget that.
I looked it up. She's not the only person that has said that. So, like, that's...
Oh, I was about to ask, and then I was about to Google.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Sharks are my enemy. They're my enemy now.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to bed after that. I'm glad that one's over. I'm not like just... Ugh. reading that over and over.
Sweet dreams or no dreams, like you just told my kid before.
And we not started. In like the ominous no dreams, just that's a zero expectations. No, like not. If you don't have dreams, like
she loves you.
She's I love her too. Well, I'm off to bed because I have to spend the next couple days figuring out how to camp with kids.
Well,
yeah. Maybe I'll
question mark.
More disasters.
Ooh, camp. I bet there's no shortage of camping disasters.
Probably not. I just don't want to be one.
Yeah, don't be one. Please don't be one.
All right, Brianne. Good All night.
Right. I just figured out where near me sells lemonade at this hour, so.
Woohoo! Get it.
I am going to go get a big one. Bye. Bye.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.